I remember the day I got saved. I walked down the aisle and I turned my life over. And the preacher came up and he said, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord?" And I said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Lord." "Do you believe he died for your sins?" "Yes, I believe he died for my sins." "Do you believe that he is raised from the dead?" "Yes, I believe that he is raised from the dead." And he was walking me through in the natural the process of how salvation came into my heart. Amen. How sin left my life and salvation began in my life. Amen. So let's read this scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and let's look back at this for a few minutes. You know, it's interesting here. If we start in verse 9, it says that if you shall confess, everybody say confess. See, we're going to see this confession thing is a very important link to your ability to prosper or to overcome any situation that the world throws your way. When we're talking about walking by faith, I'm going to show you that there's a process on how to overcome. And all we need to do sometimes when we're facing obstacles in our life or we're facing circumstances in our life is we need to brush up on our faith. Amen. We need to go back to the beginning of when we were first saved. And we need to realize, well, how did I get out of that situation? How did I get rid of all the sin in my life? Amen. How did we do it? We did it by believing in our heart and doing what? Confessing with our mouth the Word or the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? So let's look at this for a minute. Look at verse 9 there. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus or the Word. Now, the reason I can interchange the Word or the Word of God is what I'm referring to with the Lord Jesus is because the Lord is the Word. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And the Word, now watch me now, the Word was God or is God. Amen. You cannot separate the Word in the Bible and Jesus. If Jesus was standing here right now, he would be an exact copy of the words on those there pages. Amen. So you can't separate the two. So I can interchange anywhere in the Bible where it says Jesus with the Word. Amen. Because he is the Word. He's the living Word. It says that if you shall confess with your mouth, everybody say my mouth, the Word, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised what? Him, the Word, from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. So we got saved by believing in our heart, right? And doing what? Confessing with our mouth. So this confession thing is pretty important. The believing part is important and the confessing part is important. Now you can believe all day long in God, but if you don't say anything, the salvation is not going to come. Now let me say that one more time because a lot of people misunderstand this. They go to church their entire life and when they're asked of somebody, "Do you believe in God?" "Oh yeah, I believe in God." And that's all they say. They don't say anything else about what the Word says. Amen. And then they wonder why salvation doesn't appear in their life on a regular basis. Now, when I say salvation, let me just explain myself a little. Let me get down kind of where we're at. Amen. Let's get down to where I am. I have to think of it in these terms. Salvation is being able to pay First Electric. Salvation is being able to pay energy. Salvation is being able to make the truck payment. Amen. Salvation is being able to make the house payment or the rent payment. Amen. You know, how many people in the last couple months, young people in the church and young people outside the church, they're intrigued by this because they know that there's a process on how to get a raise or there's a process on how to overcome circumstances. Amen. Let me tell you something. When I was 20-something years old making, you know, I remember when I first started working, it was $2.35 an hour. I'm really dating myself now. Oh, come on. Now, none of y'all work for $2.35 an hour? Come on, I did. It wasn't long. I mean, I wasn't there very long, but I remember that was minimum wage back then. And then went to like $3.35. Hallelujah, that was a good day. Amen. Thank God for, the increase, because I sure didn't have any increase on my brain. I was just hoping and praying whatever I got at the end of the week was good enough to pay the gas bill. Amen. But now the Bible says that we need to do what? We need to move beyond the foundations of what we're teaching. We need to realize that the foundation is the basis, but now we got to put it to work. So look at what it says. Let's get back, and I want everybody to look at their Bible. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or the Word, and shall believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, this is very interesting. Did you know that the Bible always says you shall? Everybody say shall.
Shall
be saved. Doesn't say you're saved right now. It says you shall be saved from the truck payment. It's a living word. How are you going to be saved from the truck payment? You can't just have confessed 20 years ago, I'm going to pay my truck payment, and expect 20 years later that the truck payment is going to get paid. Amen? You shall be saved. You shall be delivered when? When I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart. Amen? So there's a process of confessing with my mouth and believing with my heart. Amen? Let's keep reading in verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, everybody say the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, your confession is what brings the salvation. Now, we miss this a lot of times. We believe in our heart that Jesus has provided what is necessary, but we fail to do what? Confess what we believe. When we confess what we believe, then we're going to receive the salvation. In other words, if you confess the promise of God, then God is responsible for what? Bringing the promise to a reality in your life. If you don't confess the promise, then that promise will not be a reality in your life. This is hard for some people because they have to say what God says, and what God says is a lot better than what they're going through. Amen. And it's hard sometimes when you ain't got any money in the bank to say that I'm rich. People think you're lying. No, Jesus was made poor that we may become what?
Rich.
Amen. The Bible says, let the weak say I'm what?
Strong.
Now see, when you're weak, it's hard in the natural, your natural mind, because you know, people want to be accepted. Just say people want to be accepted. They do. People want to be accepted. They're around other people in the world. They're unbelievers. They work with them. There's family members. You know, there's people that don't understand the Bible. There's people that go to church that say they're believers, and maybe they're on, and they don't understand the Bible. And when you say, when you're weak, I'm strong, people look at you and say, you don't look too strong to me, brother. And all of a sudden, because you want to be accepted, it comes out of this selfish nature that we have. Amen. Because you want to be accepted with other people, it's hard for you to overcome these things. Well, I'm telling you right now, we better get back to the basics. Amen. The basics of salvation says we believe in our heart and do what? Confess with our mouth. Amen. Now, faith is, this is how faith works. So let's look at what verse 11 says there. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall what?
Not
be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, let me just put it in Wilson 101 for you. Honey, let me tell you, wherever you got Pastor D with you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So if you're going to go out to dinner and you don't like talking about God, don't invite me. Because we're going to talk about God. And I'm going to talk to the waitress about God. And I'm going to confess, amen. I'm going to be saying stuff out of my mouth that's going to seem weird to everybody else around us. It may make you feel uncomfortable. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable at all. Because I know this is how the atmosphere of salvation becomes a reality in my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the process of what we're talking about here. faith coming alive. The gospel, the good news of Jesus is we can believe in our heart that our sin is wiped away, and because the price was paid at Calvary, we can say out of our mouth, free at last, free at last. And we can leave free, amen? Him who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. We don't have to listen to other people. We don't have to listen to that condemnation. We don't have to. Now, let me tell you something. My words will overpower the devil every time. Matter of fact, every time people get around me and they begin to confess the wrong thing, people think, well, golly, sometimes you're rude, Pastor. You'll just change the subject just like that. No, I'm changing my position in the conversation is what I'm doing. It's kind of like if you get in a fight with somebody, even your spouse or something, the best thing to do is just shut up and go to Walmart. Come on. Come on. You didn't take the trash out or whatever, and you know, your spouse, your husband's on you or your wife's on you, amen, and all of a sudden y'all get in a heated contest. All I immediately think is Walmart, fishing department. Amen. Come on. Why? Because getting in that conversation is just going to muddle that confession. See, confession what? Comes and brings what? Salvation. Well, confessing the wrong word will bring damnation, death, the curse. Amen? So let's look at this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Look at verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Now, let's interchange the word again. Whosoever shall call upon what? The word. Whoever calls upon the word for their deliverance shall be what? Saved. Now, you can say your words all day long if you want to. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Amen. You can say grandma's words all day long, and I've tried that too, and they don't work. You can say mama's words all day long if you want to. I've tried that, and it doesn't work in my situation. But when you call upon the word of God, it will deliver you. Now see how I'm interchanging Jesus? It says, call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. Call upon the word in time of need, amen, and it will deliver you. In every situation, you say, well, yeah, Pastor, didn't work for me. Well, maybe it wasn't the word. Maybe you're just learning like I was. It took me 5 years just to get a hold of this principle right here. And I realize we're all at different levels. But you young people, hear me today. You understand how you're designed and how faith comes and how salvation comes. You'll begin to speak this way. And you'll turn an aircraft carrier that's been going to China for 2 years, amen, into the direction that you want it to go in. You take account of where you're at in life, amen, and you find out, hey, you know what? I don't know how I got here. And how you got there, honey, ain't important. I can tell you that right now. You got to forget those things which are behind. You got to press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And that's understanding how we overcome situations in this world. And it's through faith. Amen? Look at what it says. How then shall they call upon the word in whom they have not believed? How are they going to call upon the word in which they have not believed? Now watch this. This is what happens. I had some young people 2 months ago come to me and say, how do I do this? Well, how are they going to know what to do if they don't know the word? If the word hasn't been taught in their life, how are they going to know? We can't hold them accountable. Right. We got to have mercy on them. Amen. But there's coming a time where we should all know how the process works. Amen? Isn't that right? They came to, well, I don't know how this works. Well, how are they going to know if they don't know the word? Well, look at what the Bible says. This is very interesting. How then should they call upon the word or Jesus in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in the word of whom they have not what? Heard. If we haven't heard the truth, if we've been raised in religion, if we've been raised in fables, if we've been raised in history, amen, how are we going to overcome? That's a pretty good question. We can't get upset at people if they've been raised in religion or they've been raised in denominational doctrine, amen. Now, there are some doctrines that will help you in some situations. But we've got to get to the root of what causes salvation to come in our life. And that's we got to believe in our heart and confess. Everybody say confess.
Confess.
Confess out of our mouth. Amen. Does that mean that we're a part of some blab it and grab it group? No, it doesn't. It means we're believers. We are Christians. Even every faith, every denomination that is on the planet right now that believe in Jesus, if they're saved, they got saved this way right here. I ain't preaching some goofy doctrine. I'm preaching the Bible. And this is the basis for any. I mean, this was the basis for me to get saved in a Baptist church. And let me tell you something. Them Baptists know that scripture. Amen. Now, they may stop there. Amen. They may not get us, not be able to get you healed. Well, the fact of the matter is your healing comes the same way your salvation comes. Your finances come the same way your salvation comes. Your peace comes the same way your salvation comes. You have to believe in your heart the promise of peace, and then you have to confess it out of your mouth. Amen. And you have to say, I'm going to have the peace of the Lord. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. Why is that? Because God said I could have that. God said you could live as long as you're satisfied, and I'm living as long as I'm satisfied, and I'm satisfied, let me tell you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now. You can live as long as you're satisfied. If God has something in your heart, amen, He wants you to do, then you do it until that's satisfied, and He gives you something else. You can live over 100 years old if you want to. Come on, you young people. I remember when I was 20, I was thinking, man, now listen to this. I remember, this was the gauge in my life. You know, 2000 was like a big turning point for everybody because, wow, it was a new millennium, amen. And I remember living in the 1900s, amen. And I remember I kept telling myself as a 20-something-year-old, I'm going to be 35 years old the year 2000. What am I going to do? I mean, that is so old. What is the world going to look like? When I'm 35, that is, come on, see, Taylor's smiling over there. Honey, let me tell you, it goes by fast. I used to think, I'm going to be 35 years old. Well, let me tell you something. You can live to be 105 if you want to. If you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the promises of God. Amen? So how are they going to know? How then, look at verse 14. How then shall they call upon the word in whom they shall not have not believed? Or how shall they believe in him or the word of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a what?
Preacher.
See, we got to preach this. Now, this is where evangelism comes in. You got saved. Now, watch this. See, we got to understand the foundation. You got saved, amen, by believing in your heart and doing what? Confessing with your mouth. The only way we are going to grow the church, horizontal growth's not good. We don't want people from other churches. Come on. Now, they could come. That's fine. Some people will come from denominational churches and Baptist churches into here to hear the word over time. As we continue to grow, they're going to come and hear this overcoming word because they hadn't heard it where they've been going to church. Amen. That's okay. But how does the church at large grow? We're talking about filling this room. Amen. Are y'all with me? You know, we're talking about having Lone Oak County come into this room. How are they going to come into this room? How are they even going to know without a preacher? Amen? Well, me just preaching on Sunday morning isn't far enough for their ears to hear unless you take the same message that's being preached on Sunday morning and preach it to them. That's true evangelism right there. If there's no confession of your mouth, then there's no growth. Amen? There's no growth. If there's no believing in your heart, amen, that the word can cause you to overcome, if you're not convinced of that, you sure ain't going to convince someone else, amen? You got to get back to faith. We got to get back to the foundation. So it says, how are they going to believe? How are they going to know without a preacher? How shall they preach except they what? Be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tithings of good things. Now go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Now we're talking about faith. We're talking about getting back to the basics here. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified or righteous or right by the works of the law, but by the faith of what? Jesus. Oh, you might as well say, by the faith of what? The Word. You're not justified by following some script. You're justified by faith. And faith is now. It's always current. It's not, it didn't happen 10 years ago. It's not going to happen in the future. Faith is always right now. The only way that we are justified before the Lord is right now. Folks, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter. Now, your flesh, let me warn you here, okay? Everybody say, warning, warning, warning. Your flesh is not going to like what I'm going to say, okay? Because your flesh is selfish, amen? And your flesh wants glory, doesn't it, Brother Boyd? I mean, your flesh wants to glorify itself, amen? Come on, if we were honest with ourselves, we want to sit around and talk about ourselves all afternoon, amen? Isn't that right? Come on, I mean, if you took me to lunch, you'd want to sit there and tell me about how what you've done the last 2 months. Isn't that right? Come on, y'all with me? Come on, don't be religious now. Well, our flesh wants to be selfish. Well, we're going to find out here in a few minutes that it really doesn't matter what you did 5 years ago in the church. It really doesn't matter what we did at Gateway 10 years ago. The only thing that matters is what are you doing right now, because faith is now. See, what we like to do is we like to think back at the accomplishments that we had back on the law and we stand. See, that the old covenant, they stood on their religious doctrines, their religious practices. Because they went to the temple every day, they stood on the fact that working in the law was going to justify them. But the fact of the matter is, faith is the only thing that justifies you, amen, before God. Now let's put it down on Jesus' level here. If Jesus showed up right now before us and was standing before us, who could stand before Him and say, oh yeah, Lord, you remember what I did 20 years ago. What do you think He's going to look in your eyes and do? First thing He's going to say, what are you doing right now? Because faith is now, and the only way we can be saved, salvation is what? A continuing thing. Come on, it is a process that we live in every day. Come on now. Let me give you an idea in the natural. Don't go to work tomorrow and don't go to work all week and see if you can get a paycheck. Come on, isn't that right? You get up every morning, you go to work. Why? Because you see the vision 2 weeks down the road or a week down the road. Amen? Church is the same thing. If we want to fill up the house, we've got to have faith right now. Faith is now. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And when you've seen what God's promised you and believe it in your heart and confess it out of your mouth, it's going to show up. Amen? The same way you got saved. You didn't get saved until the day you walked down the aisle or you sat in a classroom or maybe you were in the hospital or you're in a motel room, wherever you were. Maybe you're in your bedroom. It doesn't matter. You didn't get saved until you said out of your mouth, Lord, forgive me. You are the Lord of this planet and my heart. Come into my heart. Take away my sin. Isn't that right? You had to what? Believe that He would do it and then confess it out of your mouth. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, by the blood of the Lamb, isn't that right? And by the what? The word of our testimony we overcome. Isn't that right? No testimony, no overcoming. That's how faith works. Now look at Galatians. Let's go to Galatians here. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse 1. It says, oh, you foolish Galatians. The Lord said that to me this week. He said, oh, you foolish Duane, you. Now He did. He said this to me. He said, foolish son. He said, don't you remember how you got the promotion? See, we've been talking about how to get a raise. Don't you remember how? Is it because you show up to work every week that you're going to get a raise? Is it because of your education that you're going to get a raise? If you were honest with yourself, every time you got promoted in life, it's because faith was activated somewhere. You believed that you could and you said it out of your mouth. Remember when you first took the job and you didn't have the training for it, and you said, "I don't know, I need the job because I got to pay for my car." What was that? That was your faith talking right there. You didn't have the qualifications. Come on. You didn't even have probably the transportation, but out of your mouth, you got in a situation where you believed, "I got to do something right now." And right out of your mouth, you did what? Got that promotion. Isn't that right? And without faith, all you're going to do is get 6% every year. And people work for 30 and 40 years. Come on now. Receiving just a simple increase when they ought to be owning the businesses or taking over the management. Amen. Are growing up into a position where we could be the head, not the tail. Look at what it says. Now, he said this to me. He said, "Oh, foolish pastor, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I learn of you." This is what the Lord said to me this week. Now, watch this. Receive you the promotion by the Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit or the promotion by the works of the law, by what you did? Come on now. If you did, then you're living by works. Now watch what it said. Did you receive your salvation by something you did? Did you work for your salvation? No. Look at what it says here. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or do you receive the blessing of God which is in the Spirit? Amen. Because my Bible in Ephesians chapter 1 says that all blessing is in the Spirit. Did we receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by what we did, by how many times we ushered, by how many times we attended church, by how long we attended the church? Because let me tell you something, there are people that have attended church their entire life, but there's no faith. There's no faith in their life, amen, to get that promotion. They're following a system of works. Look at what it says. Did you receive the Spirit or the promise or the promotion by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Look at what else it says. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You think because you got seniority in that company that you're automatically going to retain your position. That's foolish. That's foolishness. You stop living by faith and you think because I've done this for 25 years. Come on. We've seen a big picture in the last few months called General Motors. Their same leaders there thought the same thing and their company just folded. They thought because they had the best product, they've been around, they were one of the top three, amen. And all those employees that had worked all that time, amen. Some of them, amen, worked by faith, and the ones that worked by faith sustained the ones that were just there because they had been there 10 years, amen? If you're like Boyd, let me tell you something. You got to work by faith if you get paid. Some people don't have to do that. They just need to stay there long enough, amen, and all they get is just whatever increase is allowed. There's really no promotion. It's just a 6% increase, amen? So look at what it says here. It says, have you begun in the Spirit and now you're perfected in the flesh? See, how did we begin this walk with Jesus? How did we begin our life with Christ? Believing in our heart and what? Confessing with our mouth. Isn't that right? And we've already seen that this confession thing, living by faith, walking by faith, is what causes us to do what? Overcome the world. Faith overcomes the world. Amen? So let's keep reading here. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? The one that causes you to overcome? When the Spirit of God comes into your life and heals you, brings wisdom and insight and concepts that are not of this world and causes you to overcome, does he do it by some formula? Or because he's been pastoring or teaching for 30-something years? No. Look at what it says here. It says, he therefore that ministers you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? No. Or the hearing of faith? No. Now look at verse 6 there. Even as Abraham believed God and it was what? Accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which of faith are the same as the children of Abraham, And the Scripture foreseeing that God would what? Justify. Everybody say justify.
Justify.
See, get the promotion. If you're justified for the promotion, it's only going to come one way. Seeing then that you're justified, or he's justified the heathen through faith, he preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all nations will be blessed. Isn't it funny here that the least in the kingdom of God can walk up today before the throne room of God and receive something that a man's tried to receive for 30 years? Isn't it amazing that that happens? Now, I hear this all the time from people my age and people a little bit older than me. How in the world did that guy get that promotion? I mean, he ain't but 28. And then what we immediately do is go to the natural. Well, you know, he has a BNA or an MBNA. That's why he got the promotion. No, that's foolishness, see? How in the world? I've been at this company 25 years. How'd that little 35-year-old woman get this executive job? How in the world did she get that? And we think to ourselves, well, she's smart. She got some special privilege. No, I'll guarantee if you studied out, there's faith in there somewhere. She believed in her heart that she could do the job, and she said it right out of her mouth. Because every time I've ever had a promotion in my life, it's when I believed in my heart that I could do this, I could take care of this situation, and I began to tell everyone around me that I'm not only going to do it, but I'm going to solve it, and I'm going to get the promotion, amen? Because I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth. Every time I did not get a promotion, and there's been years, Tiffany and I were talking about, sometimes we go through these stretches in life, 5 years, 10 years, and we're just doing the same old thing, amen? And the same old routine occurs, it's because we're what? Not active in faith. Now let me show you this. We're not in the Word. Maybe we're not having the Word taught to us. Now let's go over to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at Martha and Mary for just a second. Go to Luke chapter 10. Look at Martha and Mary. Sometimes the day-to-day chores of life tend to get us what? Sidetracked. The day-to-day activities of life tend to get us busy, and it's easy to depend on yourself in the flesh instead of pressing through and proving God's word in your life. It's easier sometimes just to receive the paycheck. Wow, honey, I'm just tired. I've been working 15 years at this. I don't know that I can do anything else. Well, you're capping yourself with your words and your belief system. You are. And let's see what happened with Martha and Mary here. Look at Luke 10. And look at verse 38. Everybody ought to say amen. 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 Yeah. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, Jesus, or the Word. You might as well say the Word entered into the village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's important. She received who? The Word into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at what? Jesus' feet. Sometimes we've misunderstood this. We've thought in our mind, Martha was over here, and Mary was over here sitting at Jesus' feet. But it says she had a sister which also sat at Jesus' feet, which means that Martha sat at Jesus' feet too. With her. Come on now. So Martha at one time in her life was sitting at the Word's feet with her sister Mary. Then all of a sudden life entered in. Amen? Now watch what happens here. All of a sudden she was living by faith because the Word was coming into her life on a regular basis. She was with her sister. Amen? And she believed when Jesus fed 4,000, I ain't got to worry about feeding the guys tonight because Jesus is coming. He can handle the situation. Come on, are y'all with me? Then all of a sudden, look what happens. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was what? Cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, Don't you care? What happened? She got caught up in day-to-day life, didn't she? She stopped feeding on the Word of God, and the Word's what causes faith to come. Amen? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. She stops feeding on the Word of God and gets involved in day-to-day work. Now, let me tell you something. I've done this. Sometimes I have to, like the Lord told me this week, He says, wait a minute, you're getting way caught up in this thing. You're getting caught up in the day-to-day process and you're forgetting to live by faith here. And I thought, well, you know, you're right. I'm crying out to you to meet certain needs, amen, in the church, to meet certain needs in the county, to meet certain needs in my household, but I'm just doing the same thing I did 2 weeks ago. And I have gotten into a day-to-day religious, everybody say religious, activity. Expecting things to change in my life. We can't expect for the demographics of this room to change doing the same thing that we've done the last few months. It won't happen. We can say all day long, man, we're believing, we're hoping, you know, Jake can get up there every Sunday morning and say, praise God, all of Lone Oak County is coming in this church, amen? And everybody can say, yeah, I believe that. But if you don't put some action into that belief and begin to confess it out of your mouth, it's going to stay the same. Maybe you're content with things the way they are. I'm not. Amen? I'm not. Why is that? Because I'm called by Jesus Himself to grow the church and to love people, to grow this into a ministry, amen, that the Word of God can reach people and teach people and then release them to preach the same thing. Amen? So Martha here, watch this. Martha, after receiving the Word, she got tied up in day to day. She came cumbered about. Look at what it says. She came to the Lord and said, Lord, don't you care? You know how many times I've done that? Lord, don't you care? Come on now. The fact of the matter is, he said to me, son, I've done all I'm going to do in the situation. I have already died on the cross. My blood has been spilled, and I have transferred all power and authority to you, son. You have to understand how faith works. You have to go back to the principles of how faith works. You have to believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth that you are getting out of that situation. Amen? Isn't that right? Martha got tied up and then she started going to the Lord. And that's a religious movement right there. That's horizontal movement. Well, Lord's going to deliver us one of these days. No, that's hoping and a praying to another time, and faith is right now. We can't hope and pray, put off God's blessing and promises to another time. His blessings and promises are new every day. And faith is now. We have to believe His Word, amen, and we have to get it into our hearts and confess it out of our mouth. And I know that's difficult because you have to train your body to hear that you're blessed. And some people have a hard struggle with that because they ain't been blessed for 20 years. You have to train. You have to get away from the environment that you grew up in that said you're broke and poor and your daddy was a drunk, so you're going to be a drunk. You got to get away from that. You got to make clear decisions in your life that I am not going to live in this environment that I grew up in. I am going to change my environment to a place that's conducive for life. Amen? You know my testimony. If you don't, I'll mention it again. When I got saved, my family was not saved. They were broke. They were poor. Come on. They were bad mouths. Amen. They'd cuss and swear. Some of them were drunks. Some of them were drug addicts. Come on. Some of them didn't work. Amen. And I tried to live around that situation. Amen. For a few years after I was saved, and all it did was cause grief in my heart. It did. It caused me to think, well, this whole salvation thing's it's not real. And that's what the devil wants you to think. Devil wants you to get off on the course that Martha got off on, amen, and destroy your hope. That way you just go home every day saying, well, we're hoping and praying that things change in the world. Come on, how many of you have done that? I have. You leave and you think, oh, I'm hoping and praying that the workplace is going to change. I hope and pray that, you know, I'm going to get a raise. I hope and pray my job is still there. What do you mean your job is still there? The only reason your job is here is because of you. You got to stand up and listen to what the Lord says. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go back to Galatians and we'll close. We ain't ever going to wrap this up, but we'll close for the day. Amen. Look at this. So look at verse 9 in chapter 3 of Galatians. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with what? Faithful Abraham. Now look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident that the just shall what? See, we got to live by faith. We can't live by the government. We can't live off of our family. We got to live by faith. It says right here in verse 14, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through what? The word. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How are we going to receive the promise? How are we going to receive the increase at our workplace? How are we going to get a promotion? How are we going to fill this room? You see how faith is the foundation message in the Bible? And faith is believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And it's evident to the entire world. Church, let me just tell you right now, it's evident to the entire world whether we have faith or not. It is evident to everyone out there that has read the Bible whether we truly operate in faith or we're operating in programs, denominational doctrine, come on. Whoever is receiving the promises of God are living by faith. Amen? So we have got to get back to the basics of how we live. So let's go back there to Romans. Amen. Now, I got more there, but we'll get into it next week. Go back to Romans chapter 10. We'll close right there. Romans 10. Look at verse 8. So what does faith say? Okay, let's end by knowing what does faith say? Faith says the word is nigh unto me. It's close. It's in my mouth and it's in my heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Isn't it good to know that we're in good company this morning, Brother Boyd? Come on, Oscar. It's good to know. Jim, it's good to know that we're in good company teaching on faith because that's what Paul preached. Amen. That's what Jesus preached. And if Jesus preached faith and Paul preached faith, if you look at the entire New Testament, I began to look up all the teachings on faith, and three quarters of the entire New Testament, more than teaching on healing, more than teaching on joy, more than teaching on anything else, is teaching on faith. Because faith is the power that what? Causes us to get joy. It's the power that causes us to get healed, amen. It's the power that causes us to overcome every situation. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now let's end by just reviewing what we taught last week. Remember old David? Y'all remember last week? Remember this little ruddy boy of 17? That's why these young people, Dana, you and David and Amy, man, I'm telling you, you get a hold of the world and you'll make more money than your parents ever made. You'll have houses and cars and you'll be a blessing and you'll give more money to the church than you've made. Come on now. In the last few years, Heather, not just these young people, but Gary, every one of us, when we realized that a 17-year-old boy walked into a situation, amen, and saw a vision, hey, I'm going to get the king's daughter. Come on now. You remember what he saw? I'm going to get the king's daughter. I'm going to get enriched by the king, and I ain't going to have to pay taxes my whole life. When he saw that, faith rose up on the inside of him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He saw the promise of God because all his brethren, all of his brothers stood around and said, "Hey man, let me tell you something. The king said, whoever takes care of this guy, I mean, he's going to be enriched." Let me tell you something. If President Obama came in here today and said, "Hey, whoever converts the entire county of Lone Oak into the gospel and brings them into Gateway is going to get enriched," I guarantee all y'all be running out here going, "Oh, praise God, hallelujah, we're going to get rich now." Well, let me tell you, there's one that's greater than he that has promised it. Obama is going to be here for this sliver of time. Jesus has been here for eternity and will continue to be here for eternity. I'll believe his words over any politician. I'll believe his words. Let me tell you something. And I watched yesterday, they honored all the World War II veterans over on in Normandy for D-Day. Let me tell you something. We need to honor those men, but I want to have a reunion and a celebration for honoring the Lord Jesus. Because he's the one that you can stand on what he says. You can't stand on the politicians. You can't even stand on what your family says. But you can stand on the Word. And the Word will deliver you every time. If a 17-year-old boy can rise up and kill a giant and receive an inheritance, he had so much money he gave his entire worth and built the largest building in the known world called the Temple of Solomon. How'd he do that? How did he gain all the wealth of the world and gave to his son? He had an inheritance for his children's children. At 17, he saw a vision. And it launched him into a position. Now, David made mistakes just like we all make mistakes. Amen? But he never stopped understanding, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I will overcome the situation. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's stretch our hands to heaven. And just repeat after me. Father, I'm a believer.
Father, I am.
I'm not a doubter.
I'm not a
doubter. Let the faith of Jesus rise up on the inside of me to touch this county. By believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth, this church will be filled. We will reach the lost. We will teach the lost. And we will release believers into this county for our children's inheritance. Not just our children, but our children's children. That the Word of God would rise above every situation that comes against us. Devil, you are a liar, and Jesus is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him thanks right there. Praise God. Well, be blessed. Amen. Be blessed. Go love on your family. Amen.